It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station from beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where we have overcast skies, 47 degrees. Out at the airport, they are showing east winds at 12 miles per hour, 86% humidity, and 10 miles of visibility. Look for rain today, continuing tonight, and it could get heavier as the night goes on, and that heavy rain is expected to continue into tomorrow. High near 49 today, low overnight of 46, and high near 50 tomorrow. However, Saturday, mostly sunny, Sunday, partly sunny. Coming up on the Midday Report, the 125th anniversary of the Philippines Declaration of Independence was celebrated right here in Kodiak. A broken fiber optic cable has severed communications for much of western Alaska. Those stories and more after this.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. For the first time in 15 months, the Federal Reserve's leaving interest rates alone. Inflation's coming down, but millions of people are still struggling with high prices. NPR's Scott Horsley reports on the outcome of the Fed's two-day meeting where policymakers opted to skip a rate hike they might resume down the line.
The central bank has already raised interest rates by 5 percentage points since March of last year in an effort to curb inflation. After the most aggressive series of rate hikes in decades, Fed policymakers have now decided to pause and take some more time to assess the impact of higher borrowing costs on the broader economy. On Tuesday, the Labor Department reported that annual inflation in May was 4%, the lowest it's been in more than 2 years. That's still well above the Fed's 2% inflation target, though. Excluding food and energy costs, which bounce around a lot, so-called core inflation is higher still. The central bank says it remains committed to bringing inflation down further. Policymakers left the door open to additional rate hikes in the future. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
President Biden's vetoed legislation that would overturn his administration's new limits targeting pollution from trucks. On Twitter, Biden says he's protecting EPA rules that will, quote, make our air cleaner and prevent thousands of premature deaths by limiting hazardous heavy-duty vehicle pollution. But congressional critics of Biden's plan raise concerns that businesses would struggle to comply with more stringent emissions-cutting rules. Atlanta-based shipping giant UPS and its drivers have a tentative deal to possibly avoid a strike. WABE's Julian Virgin reports new heat safety measures are the focus.
The Teamsters Union, which represents 34,000 UPS employees, says the agreement would address long-standing heat-related concerns from drivers. It would equip the brown delivery vehicles with air conditioning systems, new heat shields, and additional fans for the first time. If approved, the deal would also reduce extreme temperatures in the cargo area of the trucks. Meanwhile, workers who have been voting on whether to authorize a strike say results could come as soon as this week. For NPR News, I'm Julian Virgin.
Attorney General Merrick Garland's offending his prosecutors and agents against attacks by former President Donald Trump. NPR's Kerry Johnson reports Garland says he named a special counsel to lead the probe to ensure independence and accountability.
Merrick Garland is standing behind his special counsel, Jack Smith, even as the former president calls him names.
Mr. Smith is a veteran career prosecutor. He has assembled a group of experienced and talented prosecutors and agents who share his commitment to integrity and the rule of law.
The attorney general says Smith remains in charge of the case against Donald Trump. Trump faces a 37-count indictment for allegedly mishandling national security secrets and obstructing the federal probe. Kerry Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
You're listening to NPR News.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. This week marked the 125th anniversary of the Philippines Declaration of Independence. That was when the island nation officially began a revolution from its colonizers. Festivities take place around the country each year, and this year, celebrations even took place here in Kodiak. KMXT's Brian Benoit attended an event hosted by the Kodiak's Filipino American Association and has this report.
It was a bright and sunny Sunday as St. Mary's Parish, Kodiak's Catholic Church, dedicated a Mass to the archipelago's Filipino community. After Mass, a celebration was held in the church's community center across the parking lot. This is one of the first events Kodiak Filipino American Association has had in a while. Mark Anthony Discocho is the association's president. The United States didn't officially recognize the Philippines until after World War II, but Biscocho says most Filipinos recognize the original declaration from June 12 back in 1898.
The first time that the Philippine flag was raised in Kawit, Cavite by the late President General Emilio Aguinaldo. I think that's the first time that we as the Filipino, we are free from bondage. We are free from slavery. We will not take this.
Some folks even wore traditional Filipino formal clothes for Sunday's celebration in Kodiak. Barongs are usually worn by men and look kind of like a Western button-up shirt. Filipinianas are usually worn by women and can look like a short jacket or similar to a shawl. Both are usually white or off-white and transparent, but worn with similar colored shirt or dress underneath. They're traditionally made from pineapple fibers and adorned with patterns near the collar and chest areas. Biscocho says he wants to hold more events like this to bring together the Filipino community and spread awareness about the association's efforts.
Let's bring it back online so that everyone sees that we are here and that, you know, we are proud of who we are and we want to share that celebration with everybody in the community. But yeah, this is just a start, just giving it back to the community.
The small room was lined with tables filled with foods like pancit, a rice noodle dish with chicken and vegetables, and caldereta, which is like a goat stew. There were also desserts like puto, a steamed rice cake. The room was filled to the brim, and attendees spoke in both English and Tagalog, which is the main dialect of the Philippines. Mayor Pat Branson also attended the celebration. The Kodiak City Council proclaimed June as Filipino Heritage Month at its meeting last week in honor of the Independence Day. She says it's important to acknowledge the historic presence of Filipinos on the island and the impact they've had over the years.
The Filipino community has been here since the 1800s. A major part of our community, volunteering, working hard, and celebrating. The Philam Association knows how to celebrate with great food and laughter. You can hear that going on inside, so it's a joyous day.
Biscocho says they hope to host a basketball or volleyball tournament next year as well to get more young people involved.
Anything that we try to do to get the youth involved, that's one of our main projects too, is the youth.
The Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will also proclaim June as Filipino Heritage Month in their meeting on Thursday. Biscocho says this past weekend's festivities are just the beginning and is already planning to host more events soon. Sa Kodiak, ako ay Brian Benoit.
Over the weekend, a subsea fiber optic cable break severed communications for much of western Alaska, leaving many residents without internet or phone access. The fiber optic company who owns the cable says it will likely take up to 2 months to repair it.
On Sunday morning, many Kotzebue residents woke up to find their internet down and cell phones without service. Several days later, and there's little to no communications in or out, and it might be 2 months until services are restored to normal. That's according to a press release from Quintillion, the telecommunications company that connects most of northern Alaska to fiber optic lines. On Monday, Quintillion reported a fiber optic cable in the Arctic Ocean had been cut, essentially severing the main artery of communications for most of rural Alaska west of Prudhoe Bay. According to the press release, ice was the culprit. The severed cable is about 30 miles from Oliktok Point in Prudhoe Bay, and 90 feet under the ice. In Kotzebue, the outage is affecting the local government operations. The city of Kotzebue is experiencing a complete outage to all departments. And the Northwest Arctic Borough says their telephone and internet services are down. Kelly Williams is the CEO of OTZ Telephone, a Kotzebue-based communications cooperative that provides internet, phone, and cellular service to the region.
that cable was going to get cut eventually. A lot of people don't know this. Fiber optic cable is made of glass. It's tiny little glass tubes, and it's glass in a cable. So, you know, impact that ice can have, which we've all seen when, you know, you live in our area, especially sea ice, that there's an inherent risk there.
The cable break is primarily affecting the hub cities of Bethel, Nome, Kotzebue, and Utqiagvik. Williams says many of the remote communities in the Northwest Arctic are unaffected by the break. Villages in the region are mostly serviced by satellite.
All the 10 village communities we serve are still up and running fine. We have them connected through a mixture of technologies of low Earth orbiting satellites and geosynchronous satellites. So they're completely unaffected. Right now, Kotzebue is the only area that's affected, an OTZ serving area.
For OTZ customers in Kotzebue, Williams says the communications outage only knocked out broadband.
So we had a backup system in place by which all of our emergency services, calling, texting, immediately switched when that cable was severed over and kept all of our what we would call our vital services up and working.
Heather Handyside is the Chief Communications Officer for GCI. She says you can imagine that the fiber optic cable is a highway, but the highway's been blocked. Now, GCI customers have to take a detour. They can get back online with satellite and microwave technology.
It's critical, especially in places like rural Alaska with unpredictable conditions, unpredictable weather, typhoons, earthquakes, wildfires, that there are backup systems. And even if we can't deliver the same level of connectivity as we could on the main primary system, we will at least be able to deliver a basic level of connectivity for phone calls, emails, text messages.
But the backup internet service is still spotty and slow. As of Tuesday afternoon, many businesses in Kotzebue were unable to process credit card payments. Some even closed. The University of Fairbanks, Chukchi campus, and library remained closed until further notice following the outage. In Kotzebue, I'm Desiree Hagan.
Bethel's courthouse is among many GCI customers in Bethel trying to make do with slow or non-existent wireless and internet service. Since Monday, staff at the Nora Gwynn Justice Complex have been trying to find workarounds to keep their systems functioning. Here's Rebecca Coford. She's a spokesperson with the Alaska Court Systems.
So we've moved back to some analog methods to keep things going. Court hearings are still happening. If you have the ability to file online, you can do so. If you can't, you can still file in person. Our phone lines are up and running. If you are supposed to attend a hearing remotely, the Zoom phone lines still work, and you can still attend a hearing through those lines. The couple things that have changed is that we can't take payments by anything other than check or money order because we can't give people receipts right now, so it can only be check or money order for payments.
Coford says the Alaska court system was in the process of switching from GCI to Starlink before the current outages. Starlink is a low Earth orbit, or LEO, satellite communications network.
So we're trying a few different things. First, we're seeing if we can get onto Starlink more quickly than we were already planning. And second, we're trying doing some workarounds with GCI so we can get everything working normally as quickly as possible, just like everyone else is in town. But we do understand that the outage might last a while.
Coford says the court system is also planning to implement Starlink for their Kotzebue, Nome, and Utqiagvik facilities. The connectivity issues here seen in western Alaska are likely due to increased network traffic following the subsea cable cut. Here's GCI Chief Communications Officer Heather Handyside.
There was a break on one of our partner networks that was interrupting service to customers in Utqiagvik, Nome, Kotzebue, Wainwright, and Point Hope. When that happened, we began to migrate those customers over onto other parts of the network to ensure that they could still have connectivity during that time.
One entity that has not reported being negatively affected by the network outages is the city of Bethel, which has officially switched to the OneWeb satellite network. Bo Foley, who had served as IT director for the city of Bethel for the past 7 years, said that he had been underwhelmed with GCI before making the switch to OneWeb. At the same time, he noted the benefits of GCI's planned fiber optic network expansion in rural Alaska, which is being funded in large part by the bipartisan infrastructure plan.
If Starlink and OneWeb get a little better or something, I'd probably stay on them because I've already worked very hard to establish those things, and I had to do a lot of things to make it all work together. But, you know, fiber is the ultimate way to go, and if it's cost-effective, you know, got to do what's best cost-wise and budget-wise for the with the people's money.
On Monday, Quintillion CEO Mike McHale, who heads the company handling repairs to the damaged subsea cable near Prudhoe Bay, said the outage could require, quote, 6 to 8 weeks of turnaround. Alaska faces a child care crisis with high costs and years-long wait lists leading to hard decisions in families over how to find care for their children. Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early has more on how some businesses have opted to provide child care opportunities for their employees to help offset the growing issue.
Children play in a sandbox outside the Credit Union One Child Care Center in Anchorage. Site manager Kayla Hayes says, unlike other child care centers, many of the kids' parents are going about their workday in the same building.
When we can, we take a trip around the Credit Union to say hi to our families, which is one of our favorites, and I know the family's favorites too.
Though its child care facility has been around for more than 15 years, Credit Union One is part of a growing trend of more companies offering child care assistance to employees. Companies report happier staff and better retention rates, especially as affordable child care becomes harder and harder to find. The state is seeing rising costs and lengthy wait lists for child care in urban areas and child care deserts across rural Alaska. The Credit Union One Child Care Center is licensed to serve 32 children, and demand is high. It's not free, but human resources officials say it's priced lower than the market average for child care. Hayes says the schedule for the center is built around Credit Union One's branch hours.
We're open a little earlier than the Credit Union, and we're open a little later than the Credit Union, so that families don't have to worry, oh my gosh, I've got to go get my kids, the center's closing. No, we're here for you.
While Credit Union One owns the child care center, Providence helps manage it. Other businesses also partner with operators to get child care for their employees. The Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium opened its child care center in 2018. ANTHC business support manager Holly Aga says the move came after hearing concerns from workers.
Employees voicing their opinions that they couldn't find child care. They put in, you know, satisfaction surveys, tell their managers they were missing work because they had to care for children.
The facility is licensed for 100 kids and is operated by KinderCare, a company that also operates a center for South Central Foundation and another one for federal employees. Anchorage KinderCare Executive Director Angie Lance says child care has become a widely sought-after benefit.
Child care is second to only health care, the most important employees-provided benefit, right? So above benefits like retirement, dental, and even paid leave, it's a huge perk.
Lance says it's not just a benefit financially. Many parents enjoy the close proximity to their children during the workday.
We have a lot of moms that come on their breaks to either see their children, nurse their children. We have a space that allows them to have private time with their child in the middle of a day.
Trevor Storrs is president and CEO of the Alaska Children's Trust, a statewide organization that advocates for families. He says when a business creates an on-site child care center for its employees, it also frees up space in other facilities.
The employees' kids are going there, which could open one, take people off a wait list, shorten wait lists, and it does expand the overall system.
However, Storrs says a downside for smaller child care centers is that corporate-sponsored child care could potentially offer higher wages and benefits, making it harder for them to compete for staff. As businesses explore how to provide child care for employees, Credit Union One President and CEO Mark Burgess says there's no one pathway.
I think you could do it in a bunch of different ways, whether it's having a child care facility at your location or offsetting the cost of some of the child care, or partnering with other businesses or cooperatives to create one together.
And while other companies weigh the pros and cons, a new project at Anchorage's major airport is moving forward with its child care proposal. Northlink Aviation is set to break ground soon on an expansion of the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport's Southern Cargo Terminal. Northlink CEO Sean Dolan says the terminal will include an on-site child care center. Dolan sees it as a way to hire a diverse and loyal workforce.
you have to look for something besides just like, you know, a cool looking water bottle and another 50 cents an hour.
Dolan says the child care center will be available for Northlink employees as well as other terminal workers. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
Today's KMXT local news is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
Inflation in wholesale prices is cooling too. I'm Nova Safa with the Marketplace Minute. The Labor Department's producer price index fell 0.3% in May. On an annual basis, wholesale inflation registered at just above 1%, the lowest in 2.5 years. Producer prices can show where consumer prices are headed. European Union antitrust regulators say Google must break up its advertising business. The company is expected to challenge the decision. The U.S. Justice Department is also suing to break up Google's ad business. Bud Light is no longer America's top-selling beer, according to an industry consulting firm. Beer maker AB InBev has faced backlash after a Bud Light promotion featuring a transgender woman. I'm Nova Safo with a Marketplace Minute.
KMXT is supported in part by First National Bank Alaska, celebrating its 60th anniversary serving Kodiak by giving away weekly prizes through July 14th. A grand prize of 60,000 Alaska Airlines miles will be awarded on Friday, July 14th at the Customer Appreciation Anniversary event at the Kodiak branch from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. The event is open to all. More information is available at fnbalaska.com/Kodiak60. Member FDIC.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is Swedish Friday, the 14th day of June, the year 2023. Sun rose today at 5:08. It will set again at 11:11. That will give us 18 hours and 4 minutes of glorious daylight, a gain of 1 minute and 4 seconds compared to yesterday. Currently 47 degrees in Kodiak under overcast skies. Out at the airport, they are showing east winds at 12 miles per hour, 86% humidity, and 10 miles of visibility. The Weather Service is calling for rain today, tonight, and tomorrow. That rain's expected to get heavier as the evening goes on, and the heavy rain's expected to continue through tomorrow. East winds to 10 today, east winds 25, gusting to 30 tonight, and northeast winds 10 to 15 tomorrow. Looking at our local tides, we are just about to have a high tide here on the east side at 12:34 this afternoon. That will be 5.9 feet, followed by a low tide at 5:43 p.m. of 2 feet. Over on the west side, your high tide will happen at 1:01 this afternoon and be 10.7 feet in Larsen Bay, followed by a low tide at 6:53 p.m. of 3.3 feet. Well, let's check on the new announcement from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Just came out a couple of hours ago.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 3, date issued 10 a.m. on June 14th. There will be a 72-hour extension to the current commercial salmon fishing period from 9 p.m. Thursday, June 15th until 9 p.m. Sunday, June 18th in the following areas. In the central and north cape sections of the northwest Kodiak District and the southwest Fog Neck section of the Fog Neck District. There will be an 81-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Thursday, June 15th, until 9 p.m. Sunday, June 18th, in the outer Carlock section of the southwest Kodiak District. As previously announced, the following areas are currently scheduled to close at 9 p.m. Thursday, June 15th. The Cape Alatak, Humpy Deadman, Alatak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alatak District. The following areas will close at 9 p.m. Thursday, June 15th. The Anton Larsen Bay, Sheratine Bay, Kajuyak Bay, Terror Bay, Inner Uganic Bay, Bearden Bay, Zacher Bay, and Uyak Bay sections of the Northwest Kodiak District, the Northwest Afognak, Paul's Bay, and Paranosa Bay sections of the Afognak District, the Eastside Kodiak District, and the Big River and Outer Kukak Bay sections of the Mainland District. Closed waters are adjusted until 9 p.m. Thursday, June 15th in the following areas: at Cathlea Creek, stream number 262301 to the stream terminus, and at Sultry Creek, stream number 259415 to the stream terminus. As previously announced, the following areas will remain open until further notice: the Inner Katoy Bay, Outer Katoy Bay, Duck Bay, and Izhuit Bay sections of the Afognak District, the Fowl Bay Special Harvest Area, and the Waterfall Bay Special Harvest Area. Fishermen are reminded that in the Kodiak area, including the Mainland District, beginning at noon Friday, June 9th, until further notice, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse seine gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Closed waters are reduced until further notice in the following locations: in Fowl Bay to the stream terminus at Hidden Lake Creek, stream number 251406, in Waterfall Bay to the stream terminus at Little Waterfall Creek, stream number 251822, and to the stream terminus at Big Waterfall Creek, stream number 251821. And in Katoy Bay to the fishing game markers located in Little Katoy and Big Katoy Bays near stream numbers 252323 and 252324. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area SAM statistical chart and detailed in commercial salmon fishing regulations and statistical charts. Harvest strategies and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Thank you, Mr. Fish and Game. Mariners, be aware, we have a small craft advisory for tonight and Thursday on our east side, Marmot Island to Sitkanak, out to 15 nautical miles offshore. Northeast 20 this afternoon, seas building to 4 feet. Northeast 30 tonight with 10-foot seas. And for tomorrow, northwest 20, except north of Dangerous Cape, northwest 25, 8-foot seas tomorrow on our east side. We have a gale warning in the Shilikof Strait for tomorrow. Northeast 20 this afternoon, seas building to 5 feet this afternoon. Northeast 30 tonight in the Shilikof with 11-foot seas. And for tomorrow on our west side, north winds to 35 knots, seas to 12 feet. The Kodiak City Council will be having a special meeting today starting at 1 p.m. in the Kodiak Public Library's multipurpose room. The meeting is open to the public, and public members are also encouraged to web stream it. The web streaming link and meeting packets are available online at the City of Kodiak website. If you need any other information, contact the city clerk at 907-486-8636. This evening, the Planning and Zoning Commission will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. And tomorrow at 6:30, the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be having their regular meeting also in the Borough Assembly Chambers. The Solid Waste Advisory Board will be having a special meeting in the Kodiak Fisheries Research Center conference room on June 21st at 5:15 p.m. All these borough meetings are open to the public, and meeting packets are available on the Kodiak Island Borough website. Contact the Borough Clerk's Office with any questions at 907-486-9310. And remember, assembly meetings are live streamed on the Kodiak Island Borough YouTube channel. If you subscribe, they will send you live stream notifications. Also, borough offices and facilities will be closed to the public Monday, June 19th, in observance of Juneteenth Day. The City of Kodiak Public Works Department continues to patch Mill Bay Road today. They are supposed to be working from the north to the south, from Razanoff down to the Y. So have caution when driving on Mill Bay Road today, and consider alternate routes if possible. Well, it's coming up this Saturday at the Bayside Fire Hall, the big Living with Bears Around Kodiak public forum. How do you feel about bears around town? You can help shape the future of bear management in Kodiak, because people will be there to hear from you who matter from our various agencies who have to deal with bears. That's going on at the Bayside Fire Hall Saturday, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. And beginning Thursday, June 15th at 10:30 a.m., the library is introducing Preschool Storytime every Thursday at 10:30 a.m. Preschool Storytime is a captivating program where children ages 3 to 6 can enjoy animated storytelling, interactive reading, and imaginative play. Again, that's 10:30 a.m. on Thursdays, the library's new preschool story time. And beginning June 16th, Lapsit story time will move to Fridays at 10:30 a.m. It's for babies 0 to 3 and their adults. Join volunteer Abby Hanna to share a story and a song with some quality time to play and socialize. And that phone number for the library is 907-486-8686.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.